Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 5, Shamrock Rovers 1. Chelsea wrap up our qualifying, our group stage campaign in the Europa Conference League with another massive win. Great performance again. Huge win. Hat trick for Mark Guey. And we'll hear from Louis about him later with his lovely nickname for him. And a couple of other goals from Dewsbury Hall and from Mark Cucurella. A really comfortable win. Our eighth win in a row in all competitions. Yeah, really, really good. Really good stuff. Another enjoyable day to be a Chelsea fan. And the wins just keep on coming. You know, it's a really positive thing. I'm going to be joined again by Rambles. I'm just going to bring him up in a minute. And Louis is going to be with us from the ground later on as well. So, it's going to be another great show. We really want you to come up as well. And we want you to be part of this show. So, do come up and request to speak. We'd love to get you up. We'd love to hear your views on the game. As always, this is your show. So we want this to be about the fans. And we want you to have your voice and your say here in a respectful way, of course. So Rambles, welcome. Just your first thoughts on the game.
Again, you know, really positive performance. And as I keep saying, it's just a really enjoyable time to be a Chelsea fan because we just seem to be going along very nicely. And yeah. I've said it several times. This has been my most enjoyable period as a Chelsea fan, probably since Conte's first season, because it just feels like we're united as a club and we're united as a fan base. And we're all moving in the same direction and we can all see what the future holds.
Absolutely. I agree. I think there's a lot of positive things right now. It's definitely the best time to be a Chelsea fan for quite a long time for most of us, especially given what we've been through in the last 2 years. Just some little stats about today. It's our eighth straight to win in all competitions. We've now scored 71 goals this season in all competitions, 26 games. We have a 69 win percentage in all competitions, 18 wins in 26 games. It's incredible, really. We're just scoring lots and lots of goals. We still can't keep clean sheets, which is frustrating. But, you know, we just keep on winning. We've only lost 4 games in all competitions this season. And it's nearly Christmas. That's pretty incredible. It's all very positive. Chelsea are moving in the right direction. And tonight it was good to see some younger players do well. We're going to get to that in a minute. There's a lot of young players playing tonight and yeah, some good performances. So make sure everyone, if you want to talk about the game, please do request. We'll get you up. We'll have you talk about the game. We'd love to hear from you. First though, excuse me. First, I want to talk about Mark Guey or Sparky Play-Doh, as Louis calls him. And we'll get Louis along later probably to talk about him. But he got a hat-trick in the first half tonight. He had 5 goals in 2 games, 6 goals this season now. I thought he was good tonight, worked hard again. He's a real, you know, real kind of target man, you know, workhorse in the box, fights for every ball, gets into good positions. And now he's starting to score goals, and I thought he was great tonight. Like, what about you, Rambles? What are your thoughts on Mark Guey tonight?
Yeah, I was really impressed with him and he was brilliant last game as well. And even the games previously, although he wasn't scoring and he was missing what you would say maybe easier chances, he was still a nuisance. You know, he's a handful for defenders. And there's been some talk the last couple of days about a January loan move to Sevilla. And I would like to see him go there. Because I think I want to see him go and play regularly in a top league and then we can really see what he's all about.
Yeah, and you've got to remember, he's only 18 years old, you know, and he's going to, whatever happens, wherever he ends up, he's going to have a good future in the game, for sure, because he clearly knows where the back of the net is. He's got a good attitude, he works hard, gets in good positions, good mentality, you know, and he's got a good future. And in terms of the loan thing, I think it's interesting, because we've got obviously more Conference League games in the spring. And cup games and things like that in, you know, the FA Cup potentially. So like you still think given that we should send him on loan rather than keep him for the, you know, the Conference League and the cups.
I mean, I'm guessing some of it will be injury dependent. You know, if we have a few injuries, maybe we'll keep him around. But if everyone's fully fit, I think maybe a loan would be a good option. One thing I like about him is, you know, he's like an old-fashioned centre-forward. He's one of those strikers defenders will hate playing against.
Yeah, he is. He's that old Mark Hughes style of a centre-forward. You know, he's a fighter. He gets stuck in. He makes tackles. He wins headers. He's everywhere. You know, he wins the ball. He holds players off really well. He's decent in the air. Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean. And he compliments Nicholas Jackson because Nicholas Jackson isn't that kind of player, as good as he is. And I'm a big fan of Nicholas Jackson and always have been. But he's not that kind of player. And it's important to have complementary styles of strikers to have depth in your squad. And Mark Geary definitely gives us a different kind of player. And I'm sure that he'll play in the FA Cup third round game as well. And I've forgotten the position for that at the moment, but I think it's like a non-league or a League One side that we're playing. So I'm sure he'll play in that game too. And good. It's really good to see. And we only paid £5 million for him as well. I mean, it's an absolute bargain when you think about it.
Again, really good recruitment, you know, good scouting, good recruitment.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to give credit to our scouts. You know, I was critical of the sporting directors and I think I was justified in saying so. I know there are reasons for that, but you've also got to give credit where it's due because, you know, the squad, the players that they signed, a lot of them have done really well. And we can see that in the attacking players this season in the Premier League, you know, the midfield, you know, that we have now, Wesley Fofana, when he was playing pretty well, and Cucurella and Gusto, you know, we've got players like that who, you know, they've brought in who have done really well. And obviously Mark Geary as well, a really good pickup, you know, from Barcelona for £5 million, you know, because whatever happens, we're going to get, it's going to be a net positive for Chelsea because either he will stay and, you know, score goals for us or we'll sell him and probably make quite a decent profit now because he's done really well. And clubs are going to be looking at him, certainly. You know, if he doesn't start getting regular starts at Chelsea, other clubs will go to him and say, we can give you regular minutes. Do you want to come and join us? You know, and maybe that's on loan. Hopefully it's just on loan for now, but because they don't want to sell him yet. But certainly he's cemented himself as a backup striker and he'll definitely play in the cup competitions and he'll probably play in the Conference League if we get drawn against, you know, other opposition like this. I mean, we've been very lucky in the Conference League. The opposition hasn't been the highest standard, let's be fair. But you've still got to beat what's in front of you. You know, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, sometimes you get drawn against bad teams and they beat you because you don't turn up and because you don't show the right attitude and you're not professional. But we've been professional. We've won all six of our games, our group games. We've qualified first from the group. Which means we're going to hopefully get a decent draw, and we don't have to go to the playoffs. And Mark Geary's been a part of that. You know, he scored. I think all his goals this season are in the Conference League, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
So all six goals, he scored six goals in six games. You know, five of them are in two games, but nevertheless, he scored in half of the games.
As you say, you know, even though we're in the inferior competition, as it were, you've still got to go there with the right attitude. You know, you can't take teams for granted because a few of those games were potential banana skins, but we've gone about it in a professional manner and we've got the business done.
Absolutely agree. You know, that's all you can do, really. You've got to be professional. And it's honestly, it's a blessing in disguise, I think, and we'll get onto this later because it's given us opportunities to rotate the squad and everyone in the squad has been able to play minutes and, you know, the younger players have been able to get opportunities and we'll talk about that later. But, and Mark Geary has had his chance and he's taken it and fair play to him. That's all he can do. And, I know Maresca's a fan of his as well. So, fair play to him and well done today. I don't know if he got the man of the match award, but certainly he's a contender for it with the hat trick in the first half. So, well done, Mark Geary. Great game for him. Now, want to say to everyone, please do come up, request to come and speak. We want to hear from you. We want to hear the fans' voices. We want to get your views on the game. and on Chelsea and how we're doing this season, because there's a lot of positives around Chelsea. So please do that. And also check out the Chelsea Yucko Twitter account. There's lots of great content on there from Louis and from me and from other people. Really good account to follow. So make sure you give that a follow. And follow our content. So the next topic actually is a topic I really wanted to talk about today, which is, we've just kind of alluded to it a little bit, which is, the younger players this season getting opportunities. Now, Enzo Maresca was given 9 debuts to under 19 players, players aged 19 or under in Europe this season. And that is more than all the Chelsea managers of the last decade combined. Right. And some of them are academy players and some of them are young players, but I think that's a really big positive. He's also given like a lot of academy players debuts as well. Like obviously Joshua Chimpong, who's just signed his new contract. And Tyreek George, who played tonight. Harvey Vaile came off the bench tonight. Harrison Murray Campbell came off the bench tonight as well. There's Raksaki, and I think there's at least one more, who have all, played for Chelsea in the Conference League and all come from the academy. And obviously Vaile have played before, but the others, I think there's at least 5 academy players that have made their first appearances for Chelsea this season. And that's a really big positive. And part of that is down to Enzo Maresca, because we've had in the past where we've had quality players in the academy available and the managers haven't used them in the cup games. They haven't used them in Europe. They haven't used them when they've had opportunities to use them, they haven't used them. But Enzo Maresca has had opportunities to use them and has used them. And he's believed in them. He's given, and I think most of them have repaid that faith. I think, Tyreek George was great tonight. I thought he could have had a goal. Raksaki was good last week and he came off the bench tonight. Obviously Josh, we know how good he is and he was good last week. He was good. I thought he was decent again today. So it's a really positive thing, that the Cobham players are getting opportunities. And that's probably one reason why Josh has signed a new contract, which he signed in the last couple of days, because he knows he's going to get opportunities under Maresca. So, I mean, how good has Maresca been for the academy in particular and for the club project as well? Because obviously the project is about signing young talent and giving them opportunities. So even for young talent outside the academy, I think it's more positive. So how good has Maresca been in that respect?
I mean, according to what I've heard, he played a huge part in getting Achimpong to sign a new deal. He was very instrumental in the talks and, how much of a future he has at the club and that he will get opportunities.
Yes, I think he will. Yeah. And I mean, over Christmas, I think he's going to get, I think he'll get at least one start in the Premier League, or at least he'll come off the bench. I mean, he's an excellent footballer. Like he can play right centre back, right back. And he's really good on the ball. He's very composed. He has a lot of time. Seems to have a good mentality. And yeah, I'm really impressed with him. But I just think it's really positive that Maresca is buying into that. Like, not all managers do. And it's really good to see that he's willing to give academy players a chance.
I mean, Enzo Maresca just seems super impressive in whatever he does. And he's just a very, very good man manager, whether it's for academy players, senior players. And I don't know if you saw the video of him welcoming Achimpong and Tyreek George into the first team squad.
That's right, yeah. They've now actually got rooms in the dressing room, haven't they? They've got a name in the dressing room, which is really great. I mean, I'd love to see it. You love to see Cobham players doing well.
And I love the video as well. It was just a brilliant video. It was just a great moment for both players. But at the same time, Maresca was saying what he expects from them.
That's it.
Yeah. He just every day I seem to love Maresca more and more. I just think he's just been such a perfect fit for the football club.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he looks now like an absolutely inspired appointment, there were a lot of sceptics when he was appointed thinking he'd be another Sarri and that he wouldn't be flexible tactically and that maybe he wasn't a winner or whatever. And he's proved everyone wrong with that because he's clearly got a winning mentality. He's quite ruthless in terms of the standards he expects from the players if you're going to play. But at the same time, the players turn up for him and they clearly respect him. And he's done a good job managing the squad and he's built a good mentality into the squad, good team spirit. And he's giving opportunities to young players as well, but still winning. And he's just been really, really impressive. And he's made a big effort to connect with fans, coming to the fans after a lot of games, and cheering with them and clapping with them and stuff, and bringing the players to do that. That all that stuff is important. He just gets it. He gets what being a Chelsea manager is all about. And he's really become part of the club, and I think, I don't think there's anyone doubting him now. I mean, he's won everyone over. And he's clearly a very, very good manager. And tactically, I think he's the best manager we've had since Tuchel. He really is a top tactician for me, and a very good coach and manager. So, yeah, we've got very, very lucky with him.
I think this will be a huge wake-up call to a lot of owners of other clubs saying, there are a lot of good managers outside the top leagues. And sometimes you just need to cast your web a bit further to find good managers.
Mm. Absolutely. I think, because obviously he hasn't managed in the Premier League before this season. He was an assistant to Pep Guardiola, which, by the way, is not an easy job to get.
No.
Pep probably has lots of people wanting to be his assistant, and you don't get picked for that unless you're good, unless he respects you as a tactician. So if you've watched the behind the scenes of that season on Netflix, Enzo Maresca was very respected by a lot of the senior players at Manchester City, like the Kevin De Bruyne's and all of that. They all respected him as a coach and a tactician. And that takes a lot of doing in a squad which is full of winners, and world-class players. So he's clearly got what it takes, and they've clearly spotted that. And again, well done to Joe Shields for recommending him. Another good job from Joe Shields. He seems to keep racking up the good jobs. But we got very lucky with him. And I'm really impressed with him in every aspect, really. The only thing I have questions of him on is how he keeps defending Robert Sanchez. But other than that, I don't have a criticism of him, really. And I love that he's giving academy players chances, and these are the games where you should be giving academy players starts, and he is, last week we hadn't qualified, before the game last week. We hadn't, guaranteed that we wouldn't have to play off, but he still played all the academy guys from the start. He didn't just go with a safe option. So that's positive. And they delivered. They showed faith. They repaid the faith he had in them, and that's positive. And then they've got more starts as a result. And they'll get more starts in the FA Cup and stuff. And maybe in the Conference League, they'll get more minutes as well. So, and maybe, yeah, like Josh will get a chance in the Premier League. And I think he will. I think he'll play in the Premier League this season. I think he'll start a few games, depending, what injuries and that kind of thing. But I think he will get minutes in the Premier League. So I think it's just a really positive thing for the club and for the academy, and it helps us attract young players. I think, players might not want to leave Cobham, then we'll be open to staying and signing contracts, and then obviously it helps you get young talent from outside because you've got a pathway.
I think what's coming on this season will be hugely instrumental in persuading other young talents to A, join the club, and B, players in the academy to sign those extensions. Because now I think they can see a clear pathway, and they can see in Maresca they've got a manager who will give youth a chance if they deserve it.
Absolutely, yeah. And the manager that will promote you to the first team if you deserve it, and to the squad, now we've got Tyreek George and Josh in the squad, and both of them probably deserve to be there, and I thought they were both good tonight. Just have a word on Tyreek George tonight, because I thought he was excellent tonight, and he could have had a goal. He was a big difference maker. He's played on the right for a lot of the game, which isn't his best position even. But I thought he was dangerous and could easily have scored. How do you think he did tonight?
Yeah, again, he was very impressive. Every time I've seen him play the season, I've been impressed with him. He just oozes confidence. And you can see he's a raw talent. He needs to work on his end product, but there's so much to like about him, and he's got a very, very bright future.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm excited to watch him. He's got a lot of skill, and he's still young. He's still, I think, 17, 18? So he's got a lot of development to do, but he still looks very promising already, So you think once he develops and matures and, gets the feel of men's football, he's going to be a dangerous player. and another great attacking option, you know, which is, again, another really positive thing, because the more options you have, the more difficult it is for opposition. And you have good problems, which we've talked about all season. You know, he gives us another good problem in attack.
What do you think his future holds? Do you think he's a player they'll look to loan next season, possibly? Or do you think he'll stay within the squad?
It depends, because it depends who leaves in the summer. And I think it also depends on the Mudryk thing as well. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with that. We won't talk about that generally, but we don't know what's going to happen with that. And also, of course, you've got Estevao William coming in the summer, who will definitely be in the first team squad next season. So at least one attacker is going to leave in the summer, and it won't be, I don't think it'll be Tyreek George. I think it's more likely to be Nonny or, you know, Mudryk or whatever. I don't think Tyreek George is going to be leaving. I think either he'll be loaned or he'll stay with the first team squad. It just depends on what the squad looks like in the summer, I think, because obviously he needs to play. And if we've got so many attackers that he's not even going to get a game, then it's not good for his development. So maybe that he may go to Strasbourg.
I was just going to say, I think.
That might be a good loan for him.
I think Santos and Petrovic come back, and ideally we loan on Tyreek George and Leslie. That would be what I'd like to do.
Yeah, I mean, that could work. Yeah, that could work. Yeah, because you're definitely going to have Santos in the squad next season for me. I think he's an excellent footballer. Petrovic, I mean, he's doing pretty well apparently, so that gives another option at goalkeeper, you know, if we move Sanchez on, hopefully. But absolutely. So Tyreek George has got, I think his long-term future is at Chelsea though. I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, 100%.
And I think the club want him to be here as well. I don't think they want to sell him. So, absolutely. Yeah. So that's an interesting topic. So guys, make sure you do check out the match review as well. Louis does a match review, a quick 3-minute match review after every game, little podcast, just for 3 minutes. Covering the match, and I'm sure it'll be a good one tonight with all these nicknames and stuff. So make sure you go and check that out. It's on the, it'll be on the Chelsea Echo Twitter. Should be out tonight sometime. Certainly by tomorrow morning it'll be out. So make sure you do check that out. And again, it's another reason to follow the Chelsea Echo Twitter account, because it's part of that content that we produce. So, and again, please do come up if you've got anything to say about tonight's game or anything we've talked about or anything we've not talked about Chelsea, then do come out. We want to hear from you. So make sure you do volunteer. We'll keep an eye out for you. Hopefully we're going to get Louis up soon. I think he's got to get out of the game first, out of the stadium, and find a suitable place. But hopefully we'll hear from him soon. Rambles, this is your time. It's the Rambles rant or the Rambles rave. So what is it tonight? I'm guessing it's a rave tonight.
Yeah, it's a rave, and it's going to be a rave about Mark Gui. Or Sparky Play-Doh, as Louis calls him.
Sparky Play-Doh, yeah, that's it. And that's one reason I want Louis on tonight, because I need to be hearing him say that, because it's always fun when he says it.
Yeah, it's brilliant when he says it.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's a good call. I mean, we talked about him earlier, how well he played tonight and what a bargain he is.
I just really like the look of him, you know. He's kind of like a throwback, you know, an old school centre forward, you know. A striker defenders are going to hate playing against. And I'm just really excited to see what the future holds for him. As I said previously, I would like to see him get a loan. You know, Sevilla, I think, could be a good move for him, whether it be in January or the summer. And then we can just see how he does playing more regularly in a competitive league.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of Sparky Play-Doh, we've got the man who coined the nickname. He's here.
Sparky Play-Doh, Sparky Play-Doh. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, gents.
So how was the game? How was the game?
You know what? It was a case of job done. I don't think there's very much else to say about it. It's just like, went in, did what we needed to do, got the result. The goal we gave away was a little bit shit, but you know, that's part and parcel of football. You can't always have what you want. But, you know, he's going to win the Ballon d'Or. That's all we need to talk about. He's going to win the Ballon d'Or. You know, we're going to sell him to Real Madrid for 127 billion. You know, he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Sparky Play-Doh is a man. He's a myth. He's a legend already.
Yeah, I do like the tweets you've been putting out tonight. The Grok AI tweets with the Thanos.
He is inevitable. He is inevitable. Yeah. There's nothing you can do. He's going to be really good. And do you know how I know he's going to be really good? Because after one goal, he smashed into the corner or the post, wherever it was. And it looked like he dislocated his shoulder. He didn't. He popped it back in. Up he gets, carried on. What a player. He's great.
Yeah, we're all huge fans of him as well.
Yeah, well, you know, you got there eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was great tonight. We've been raving about him tonight.
He's been top draw tonight. I mean, it is Shamrock Rovers, all right? As much as I rave about him and I love him, I am, you know, it is a bit of a piss take me sitting there and being like, he's the best player in the world. But there is a player in there which we can all appreciate.
Absolutely. I mean, I love strikers like him. You know, like big workers, fighters, you know, warriors. Yeah. I think all Chelsea fans love those kind of players. Mark Hughes was like that. He was called Sparky. Now we've got Sparky Play-Doh. Hopefully he continues at Chelsea. What would you like to see him do, Louis? Do you think he should get a loan in January or keep him to the summer?
I think it depends on the opportunities that he gets. I think realistically, when it comes into the next stage of the Conference League, he's probably maybe not going to get as many minutes. I think it's when Nicholas Jackson's really going to kick into gear, and probably come into the side and, you know, try and get all the goals that Chelsea need to make sure that we can win the competition. Obviously, Cole Palmer's going to be in there as well. I don't know as of right now. I think that a loan would probably do the best for him, purely because he needs to get regular football. But at the same time, if he does go out on loan, Chelsea are a bit light in the striker department. So it'd be a case of, well, it depends on what business we conduct in January.
Yeah, that's my view on it as well. At the moment, I'm inclined to keep him till the summer, just because he gives us a different option. And he's clearly improving as well. You know, 6 goals now this season. You know, he looks better every game, every time he plays, honestly. So, but 5 million quid, a brilliant, brilliant signing, really. Absolute bargain. And what other players stood out for you tonight, Larry?
For me, I mean, look, I think the youngsters that came into the side, are really, you know, look pretty solid. Again, you know, Astana, Shamrock Rovers, not players you look at and teams you look at and go, oh, yeah, no, this is gonna, with these players, gonna be absolutely world class. But they gave a good account of themselves against opposition, which realistically they should have done. Because one of the big things we do talk about and I've spoken about in the past is that sometimes players who are insides don't always give a good account of themselves when they should do for Chelsea. That's something we've spoken about multiple times over the past 2 years. And, you know, the lads that came into the side today, I think, you know, Josh Chimpong and Tariq George are the two big names here. You know, Tariq George has come into the side as somebody who is basically, you know, he's going to replace Mudryk if things pan out how we expect them to, right? You know, if we're looking at what we're looking at now, Mudryk is not going to be available for Chelsea for minimum a year, maybe two, right? Might even be longer, you know, depending on how things pan out, right?
Yeah.
So Tariq George is coming in. He's seen that and potentially will seize the opportunity. Today, he looked solid. He was raw. He was powerful. He played with no fear. And I really like that. Just a Chimpong, showed his versatility, started at right back, moved into centre back. You know, I think that really showcases the potential talent that we've got on our hands here. I think, again, like, cause everyone kind of stepped up and did what they needed to do, no one really stood out, but aside from obviously a first half hat trick from Mark Guy, but, you know, realistically, everything else that these players needed to do, they delivered. And it gives me more of a reason to go and enjoy my birthday tomorrow and get a pint right now to celebrate it.
Yeah, happy birthday, mate. Happy birthday.
That wasn't me angling, by the way.
Happy birthday for tomorrow, Louis.
No, stop it, guys. Oh, God.
Well, it's going to be funny. It's going to be funny because like we've been linked with Mark Guhi from Crystal Palace, the centre-back, in the last week or so. And if we had a team, hypothetically, where we had Mark Guhi and Mark Guhi both in the team, it's going to be, that would be interesting. But we have a nickname for Mark Guhi that we already have, Sparky Play-Doh. So we can call one Mark Guhi and one Sparky Play-Doh.
Sparky Play-Doh and Sparky Duplo. Or Sparky Blue Tack. Or something else. I'll work on it. We've got time. If we sign him in January, it gives me at least a month.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'll need to get on with that. Meanwhile, we have the legendary Gary Hayes with us. He's been waiting to speak. So, I want to get him to speak while Louis is still here. So, Gary, where are you, firstly? And then what did you think of the game?
I'm 1 mile away from the MetLife Stadium in Rutherford, New Jersey.
Welcome, Gary.
Nice. Welcome.
Can I just say, I only came on because I've texted Louis 4 times today and he hasn't texted me back.
I've been busy, Gary. It's been a busy old day for me.
I figured I could come on here because publicly he's got to, you know, be nice. So yeah, I texted him happy birthday. So I only came on to say happy birthday to him.
I haven't seen it. I was busy, man. I've been talking about loads of stuff today because I'm going to celebrate tomorrow.
He's left you on one tick.
There was no tick. I've been blocked.
That's bollocks. Behave yourself. Fucking hell.
So I just came on to say happy birthday to Louis.
Thank you very much, Gary.
While you're here, I haven't heard from you for a while. So what are your thoughts on how Chelsea are doing generally, this season?
Well, I think I might have said this the last time I came on, so I'm going to repeat myself. But when I get things wrong, I'm quite happy to admit I got things wrong. But I'm not jumping on the bandwagon. But Maresca, I'm just like, what happened over the summer is I'm normally really positive around when new managers come in and everything. And, you know, I'm always like supportive. I don't immediately fall in love with them, right? You got to give them a chance, but then they've got to earn your affection, right? I'm always like that regardless. Obviously, when Lamps came in, it was very different. But with Maresca, I listened to too much because I didn't know a lot about him, like I'm sure a lot of people didn't. And I heard a lot of negativity from Leicester fans and he sounded like he was going to be Sarri Mark II. And I was really concerned because, you know, of the way we liked football to be played at Chelsea and the players we got. So I was really down on him. I honestly was. And I think that was a combination of the last 2 years as well. Yeah. And I'm quite happy to say that while Louis's eating birthday cake today, I continue to eat humble pie because the guy's just blown me away. He's been incredible.
Yeah.
That's a good line. That's great. I like that.
That's a nice metaphor. I like that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But you know, he's a throwback and Chelsea and Italians. It just makes sense. Whenever an Italian comes, I'm trying to think of an Italian that's been bad at Chelsea. There's Panucci. Who else is there?
There was that Italian winger we signed.
Ambrosetti.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? He scored one goal for Chelsea. Do you remember what game that was in?
It was Galatasaray, wasn't it?
That was it, when we beat him 5-1.
That's it, I remember. And didn't Zola get a goal?
And I think Flo got a couple as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I remember.
That was in our first Champions League season.
I'm old enough to remember watching that game live on ITV, yeah.
Yeah, same here.
You both are because you're ancient by the sound.
I can remember the goal right now. Get it up on YouTube. I remember he cut in, it was on the left and he cut in and hit it across the keeper.
It was a decent goal actually. It was a decent goal.
It was.
It was the only goal he scored for us. So like him and Panucci are the only two Italians I think that have failed at Chelsea.
Like, but all other Italians have, like, you know, I think we're a bit like Sex Panther with Italians, like 90% of the time it works every time.
Yeah, like even Sarri won a trophy, you know, like, so.
Oh yeah, sorry, yeah, I'm forgetting Sarri, God, I blanked him out, yeah. But that's it, he won a trophy and he gave Arsenal a spanking in the final, so there was success there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, even then, it kind of worked out, even though it ultimately didn't, you know, and Jorginho won the Champions League and came third in the Ballon d'Or when he was at Chelsea. So, yeah, another...
What I like about the manager is I just really like the way he's conducted himself and he's been very resolute in his beliefs. And, you know, and look, this is where I think everyone needs to get their shit in check because, and I count myself firmly in that. I'm not trying to sit here and preach as if I wasn't, you know, of a certain frame of mind. But I just really like the way he's conducting himself and he's changed the narrative around Chelsea in a really cinematic way. He's just he's shown, not told, you know. He's just gone, look, I'm just going to let my team do the business. And it does remind me a lot of, in the way that the season's gone, it's a little bit Conte-esque in that it's taken a little bit more time to click. But if you remember with Conte,
yeah, I remember. Yeah.
It was that Arsenal game at the end of September, and, you know, then he said, I've had enough, and he started doing it his way. And it's happened a bit later in the season with I nearly said Sarri then, because Dan, who's listening, messaged me saying Sarri was a big eating tramp. So I was just reading that message as I was talking. But Maresca, I just like the way he's gone about it. And, I just think that it's very positive. And, you know, it's got to be said that he's got the benefit of what Pochettino laid in terms of foundation. But he's certainly come on and he's built it in a way that nobody expected. And now this team looks fluid. The way he's got Enzo playing as well. I'm just like, you know, I thought Enzo's, you know, goose was cooked. I thought that guy at the end of the season, they're going to be trying to cut their losses on him. But the last 2 months, he's looked great. And he's just the way he's rotating the team. And obviously, he's got this shadow squad for the Conference League, which is great. But I just think just what you were saying about players going out on loan, if Chelsea really see a future for Achampong and Tyreek George and others like that, I don't think they should be letting them go on loan, because as much as there's freedom in this team, there is a system in place, right? And you need system players. And if you let them go out on loan, you lose that. Whereas you see the Conference League has actually helped us a lot this year, because the squad itself has really understood and bought into the system that we've got playing. I think that's really benefited them. And I think if you allow players to leave that and then come back in, I think that could have an adverse effect. So if they see a future for these guys, keep them in the team. You don't need to sign another attacker, like you said about Estevao coming in the summer. You know, that's going to be interesting what goes on there. But with Mudryk getting potentially banned, there's no reason for Tyreek George to be leaving. I think it's too late for the likes of Harvey Vale now. I think, you know, his time's been, and he's just sort of making up some numbers at the moment. But the likes of George and others that have got a lot to prove but have got a future ahead of them, keep them at the club, get them in the system like Guardiola did with Foden. Obviously, they waited too long with Palmer, but, you know, get them in the system and get them playing.
Absolutely, yeah. And we were just talking, I think you were here, we were just talking about how good Maresca has been for the academy. And I know that you're a massive fan of Cobham. It must be really good for you to see so many of them getting opportunities and debuts. And obviously, Josh signed his 5-year contract yesterday, which is really positive.
Yes, it's great because, look, what we've got to acknowledge here is it's been very upsetting seeing, you know, all of our young talent leave and the negativity around it and, you know, and all the talk of PSR, and it's felt like that players are getting sold to cover up mistakes that have been made, etc. But now, as we always say with these things, though, you know, as a football fan, you've got to put your faith in it. It sounds like a cliche or a cop-out, but time will tell. And obviously, in this moment, time is telling that the moves the club have made are starting to come together. So there's been wisdom in whether they've done it. Now, is that because they've thrown enough proverbial at the wall and enough it stuck or what? We don't know, but we'll find out again in time, because it's still early days, right? Anything could happen from this moment, but it's going in the right direction, despite obviously the way it's appeared with the likes of Connor leaving, Mason and others. But then you see this new generation coming through and you think, well, they're showing that they're good enough. You know, they're not good enough to start, don't get me wrong, but they're showing they've got something there. And I think Achampong and George, look, we've got to acknowledge again, you've got to caveat it. It's, Astana and Shamrock Rovers, but we've seen it in the past when promising youngsters are coming through and they played similar teams and not done it. Whereas these boys have stepped up and they're earning the right to stay in and around the squad. You know, with the Mudryk situation, there's an opportunity presenting itself. Do they just think, we'll wait 6 months and sign someone in the summer rather than in January and give George an opportunity? You know, is that a risk they're willing to take? Because I don't think not having Mudryk in the team means that, or in the squad, means Chelsea get Champions League football or not. No one's expecting that. So when you've got a player you weren't expecting much from no longer available, well, give the position to a player where you're not expecting much from him as well, right?
Exactly. Mudryk hasn't played in the Premier League, I don't think, much.
Yeah, so he hasn't at all. He's been that bit part player. And this is the thing that frustrated me in the past, you know, when Jose was around and others, is that when you had talented players like McEachran coming through, and, you know, even to a lesser degree, like Dom Solanke and Tammy and others who are always waiting for an opportunity, we seemed to sign players in their position for big money, and that just meant that they got the position on the bench. So it meant that rotation and pathway was getting blocked. There are more barriers to entry, whereas at the moment, there's a barrier to entry that's been removed. So give George the opportunity. You know, I don't think Chelsea lose the title because they don't sign a player to cover Mudryk. But do they do they win the lottery further down the line by having a player like George come through and prove that he's got significant value? You know, I think they do. I think more clubs need to try doing that.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. Really good point there, Gary. Louis.
Hello.
Just your thoughts on that. Also, I just want to share a story. I think it's quite relevant, actually, with talking about Josh.
Damn it. Say that again. You both know them.
There's a story that's just coming out of France, from decent sources in France, which might be relevant to the conversation in terms of Josh, in that Juventus and a German club have inquired about De Zerzi for January. So, like, what happens if, say, De Zerzi leaves in January? Do you go and sign a centre-back in January?
I would sign a centre-back.
The question was going to be, do you sign a centre-back in January or do you wait till the summer and give Josh a chance? Like, and there's arguments for both, but, why would you make a sign-in?
I mean, I just think, look, Mark Gahey's been the one that's been touted for Chelsea significantly over the past sort of few weeks, especially in a few months. And obviously since that Newcastle move collapsed, they're not going to be going in for him. And let's be honest, Crystal Palace can be keen for a sale because his contract's running out. So realistically for me, I think if he's available and he's someone who we can rely on, and I think is somebody who fits the team really well, I do think he would make a big difference. Also, as part of that player, I was actually having a conversation with Crystal Palace fan yesterday about this. And I kind of agree with him. Not this season, probably not next season, but I'd say that Mark Gahey does make Chelsea start contenders purely because at centre-back, I think as a pairing, him and Levi Colwill would just be astronomically impressive.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, he's got Chelsea DNA, you know.
Exactly.
He knows Cobham, he probably knows some of the players here already. And, you know, he fits our style of play. He's also a leader. He's got leadership qualities. He's captain of, I think he's been captain of Crystal Palace. I think he still is captain of Crystal Palace.
He is, yes.
And he's obviously a full international now. He's played at major tournaments. So he's got experience, now in the Premier League and at major tournaments, you know, and, so he can play left centre back or right centre back as well. The other thing about him is we get 20% off whatever they want for him because of our sell-on clause. So,
make the most of January sales. I think that's the best way you can say it.
If they want 60 million for him, we'd end up paying 48 million for him, for example. Yeah. So,
does that really work like that? That's almost like an Uno reverse card. Does it actually work that way?
Well, it has to. I mean, if they sold him elsewhere, then we would get 20% of that sale. So if they sell him to us and we get 20% of that sale.
Well, I guess Chelsea have got to pay, you know, it could help for PSR. Chelsea pay him 60 and take 12 back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It would be a good,
it's an
good
actual sign. Transaction.
Yeah. And, it's a good sign. It's a good sign in all round, really. And he's definitely an upgrade on De Zerzi. So, I don't know what's going to happen in January, but that story came up. I thought it was relevant to what we were talking about.
Well, we'll definitely keep in tabs on that, mate, won't we? That's final score. The score in January is going to be a very, very busy show. I've got a funny feeling.
Yes. I think we'll have players leaving and maybe we'll have a player arriving.
Could see a surprise or two.
Could see. Yeah. Anyway, lads, I'm going to love you and leave you because I've got a pint of Guinness being waved at me. So I'm going to go and enjoy that. So I'll see you guys in a little bit. Cheers. I'll text you back,
Louis,
Gary. Don't worry.
Is it your birthday today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Oh, so I messaged early. I'm happy.
Yeah, you go. I got there in early doors. It's not because you forgot. You thought it was another day, didn't you?
Remember, because Louis, 2 years ago, we were in New York when it was your birthday.
We were. And Gary bought me lots of different things.
And I got you a Bada Bing t-shirt. You need to wear it tomorrow.
It's in the wash, actually, so I actually might be able to.
I'm going to go to the Bada Bing tomorrow and get a dance just for you.
Oh, fantastic. That's really what we want to be here on, a child-friendly show, Gary. Come on. Jesus Christ. Right, fellas, I'm off skis. I'll see you later.
Ta-da. See you later, Louis. Happy birthday.
The joke there, Score, is that I live 4 miles away from the Bad of Bing in The Sopranos, which is on Route 17 in a little town called Lodi in New Jersey. But in real life, it's called Satin Dolls. And in the show, it's called The Bad of Bing. But I'm the sort of guy that doesn't frequent places like that. So that was just a joke for anyone listening.
I see. Well, thanks. That's great. You can stay up. We're going to talk about... I briefly wanted to talk about Mark Cucurella because we were going to talk about him on Saturday on the weekend, but then he got sent off at the final whistle, which kind of put a damper on it. But Mark Cucurella, you know, he played tonight because he's suspended at the weekend. And I thought, he had another really good game and he scored. And his celebration was brilliant as well, by the way. And he's becoming a fan favourite, I think, now. Like, you know, and it's an amazing story because like a year ago, we were all like, get rid of him, not good enough, awful signing, waste of money. And now he's, you know, this year he's been unbelievable. He's become one of the best left backs in the Premier League. He's, you know, he was the best left back at the Euros as well and won the Euros. You know, he's a fixture in the Chelsea 11. And he's become like a bit of a, you know, an experienced head leader on the pitch as well. And he scored tonight. And, you know, I think, and the fans are cheering his name, after games as well, sometimes as well. It's a big turnaround for him and he deserves a lot of credit. Rambles, what are your thoughts of Cucurella? I know you're a fan of his.
Yeah, I absolutely love Cucurella and he just seems to be growing game by game and he's developing into the player we thought we were signing from Brighton. And I think he's probably exceeded what we thought we were getting. You know, he's developing into a leader as well. And he's got that nasty side to him, that shithousery, which I absolutely love.
He has, and I love that, especially with his hair. You know, like, that's ready-made for shithousery, isn't it? Like, just the character. And Chelsea seem to find these kind of characters quite often in our squad. You know, the shithousery, the banter, the fighting spirit. And he's got all of that. Yeah.
And it's so pleasing because things didn't start well for him when he first came. Now he had a lot of abuse because of his hair, because of the big price tag, and also because he signed from Brighton. But he certainly won everybody over now.
Yeah, I think it's ironic that we criticised signing players from Brighton, and now two of our best players are ones we signed from Brighton, Caicedo and Cucurella. You know, like everyone was like, "Oh, don't buy anyone from Brighton," but. Two of our best players this season, the players we signed from Brighton. So, that didn't work out too badly in the end, did it? But yeah, Gary, what are your thoughts on Cucurella?
You know what? He pissed me off in the summer because he beat England in the final, but, I've been surprised of him. You know, he came in and it took a bit of time to adjust, but I think now he's found the club that, I think he came in a little bit of his head down, big price tag. Brighton's very different to Chelsea. You're going from a small town to a big city, right? And the club represents that. So I think it can take a little bit of time for players that aren't necessarily exposed to that. But now you see him, he sort of buys into his character buys into how bonkers Chelsea is. And what I like about him is he is a throwback to the sort of player that has flourished at Chelsea where he's got a bit of mischief about him. You know, he's by all accounts, from what I hear, he's a really genuine and nice person and whatnot. But then on the pitch, he's got that little bit of mischief about him. He'll give a bit of back talk and whatnot. And, you know, he doesn't mind ruffling up players. And, you know, even though at the weekend, everyone made a big deal about it when I think it was Wissa crossing the ball in and the way he was trying to stop him crossing it in. You know, I just like it about him. He doesn't mind a little bit of the dark arts. And this team being so young, they need a little bit of that, right? And as you see, the way this team is evolving, players like him might not be leaders in the sense that, you know, we look at with, you know, a Lionheart like John Terry or Lampard or Drogba and others, but they've still got a little bit about them that makes the rest of them more streetwise. And I think as you see this team coming together now, you're starting to see more of that, right? And, you know, when there's a little bit of a scrap, they're all together. You know, like the fact that Cucurella, the way he got sent off on Saturday, it's obviously, on Sunday, it's a bit frustrating because it means he misses the Everton game. But I still like that about him. Like, yeah, good. Like, do more of that because others will do it with you. Obviously, you don't want to be getting sent off and costing the team. and he's got to learn how to be a bit more clever about it. But I like that that he's got it in him. So it's sort of like, just sort of round that off, smooth that little bit off so that you're not getting sent off in future, but still have that, because I think the best teams and the best players have that. They have that little bit of an edge where they can get into siege mode pretty quick. And that's what you need to win stuff. Now, what it is though as well, you look across London at Arsenal, and I think they've tried to manufacture that and it's not working. But I think at Chelsea, yeah, there's players like Cucurella who's sort of like naturally within them and it's part of their character, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. I think you're right. You know, he's just got that about him. That kind of personality, shithousery, you know, just buying into what Chelsea means. And it happens to a lot of players at Chelsea. And sometimes you don't realise it about players until they join. You know, and some players just work, you know, they just fit, they get it and they buy into it. And he does. And he has. And he's getting that back from the Chelsea fans now. They're cheering his name and.
He feels like a Chelsea player, doesn't he? That's the thing. I'm gutted that Ben Chilwell's not in this team because I love him, and he feels very much a Chelsea player. However, the manager, for whatever reason, has decided he's not in his plans. But the people that he's putting in ahead of guys like that are actually turning up and doing the business. So you can't dispute with the manager. You see what I mean? He's just gone, look, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to explain to you why I'm doing it, and you're going to end up accepting it and enjoying it. And now we are. So, and players like Cucurella have stepped up for the manager and gone, you put that faith in me to do a job and I'm going to do it, you know? Because it even like scoring, I was chatting to my friends here in the city after the game on Sunday, and what I liked about Cucurella's goal is very different type of player, very different character, plays in a different position. But it just, when Chelsea needed something, because they'd been knocking on the door, the goals are starting to come from different places. And it was akin to someone like Ivanovic, when Lampard and Drogba and that might have been having a tough day hitting the post or the ball just going wide. And Ivanovic would turn up at the back post and get a goal just to set us on our way, right? And Cucurella did it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I understand exactly what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. You need players like that in your squad all the time. And you know, like you say, he's a bit more experienced than a lot of the squad as well, which is a positive thing. And he can provide, you know, some leadership and, you know, professionalism and, you know, just some, like, know-how, like you say.
And I think it's a prime example of players just needing time. Even when you sign a so-called more experienced player from your league, they still can sometimes take a few months, maybe even a season, to kind of settle into a new system and so on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, he's one of our best players this season, Cucurella, and long may it continue.
I would say he's arguably the best left back in the league currently.
Yeah, I think there's a good argument for that, 100%. Certainly, like, he's clear first choice at Chelsea, and he's definitely one of the best in the league, if not the best.
Score, I'm going to have to bounce in a minute, but I just wanted to ask, because you were chatting about, you know, not keeping clean sheets earlier. So what are your thoughts on that? Because obviously a clean sheet is great, but when you're pumping teams 5-1, and I'm not really bothered about conceding goals.
Yeah, it's just a little thing, really. I mean, like, we scored, I was saying earlier how many goals we scored this season. I'll just go back and find that stat. We scored 71 goals in all competitions this season.
That's not even Christmas.
Yeah, so we could end up, if we continue that, we could end up scoring 150 goals or something this season. Yeah.
Especially with this conference league, like, some people that just sort of follow football don't understand it. It was like, hey man, Chelsea's so good, they're in the Champions League. And then I was like, no, it's not the Champions League, but mate, listen, I'm like, this is sort of like an NFL team playing a college football team with how Chelsea are playing these teams at the moment. I'm like, I'm sure it's going to get tougher later on, but if Chelsea really should be winning this, right? And they're going to be pumping teams like this. So getting to 150 in the season is achievable.
It is. Yeah. I mean, even in the league, we've got a good goals per game ratio. You know, it's, we scored 37 goals in 16 games in the Premier League, you know, and like, you just remember 2 years ago, we scored 38 goals in 38 games, which is absolutely
depressing.
But now 37 in 16 games, you know, we're on to get, I can't even do the math, but you know, at least.
Well, it's approaching 100 goals. So you're going to be looking at about 85 to 92 goals in that ratio.
Yeah, exactly. So, we haven't scored that many in the Premier League for a while. That's a lot of goals. you know, my only thing with the defence is if the defence was a little, just a little bit better, you know, we probably have a better chance of winning the league. I mean, we're like the mantra on this podcast, and this comes mainly from Louis, but also from me, is that, you know, we're not title contenders this season. When, and we're going to say that Louis is going to keep saying that until the last day of the season, basically. Even if we win the league, he's going
to
say
we're not. I mean, I think when it comes to the Europa League, I think we've been playing like a very B team midfield. I think when we play better opposition, we will need to play one of Caicedo, Enzo, Olivia.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I mean, that will come at the end of the season. You know, the kind of from the quarterfinals onwards, probably. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think we can win the conference. Like, I think we will win it. I don't have any doubts about that. Really, we're by far the best squad in the competition for me. So. Yeah, I think we should win that. We should win this cushion, which will mean we've got yet another European trophy, you know, and we're the first club to win literally, the first English club anyway, I think, to win literally every European trophy that's available ever. Unlike certain other clubs in London, in fact, any clubs in London, no other London club has won the Champions League still. And that will probably be the same by the end of this season as well. So, yeah, we should win the Conference League. So, yeah, it's a good night for Chelsea. Another good night, 8 wins in a row. So everything's really positive around Chelsea right now. It's been another good show tonight. Thanks to Gary for coming. Thanks to Louis. Thanks for everyone who's listened in. Thanks for everyone being part of this. And thanks to Rambles, as always. Just some final thoughts, Rambles, on the game today.
Yeah, really positive professional performance. And it was nice to see some academy players get run out, and they did well. Our future is very, very bright. I think we can be very optimistic about what lies ahead.
Yeah, I agree. And last thoughts from Gary.
Yeah, it's a very positive season. And I just like the fact that all the narrative around Chelsea is switching and people are looking forward. And look, it's not perfect, but I don't really care if we're conceding some sloppy goals, because while you're outscoring teams, I think that's fine. I think it's an exciting team. It's starting to come together. And, you know, I know there's been issues with the ownership and people wanting more transparency and whatnot, and the sporting directors and everything. But you can see it's starting to come together, right? I don't think the team will win the league this year. I think they're still getting that muscle memory for a title challenge, which is fine because these are all young players. But it's amazing and fun watching them come together. So long may it continue.
Absolutely. It's another good night for Chelsea. It's a good season for Chelsea. Things are moving forward positively, and hopefully we can have a, you know, really, really good season and get some silverware and get into the Champions League and move forward. So thanks everyone for listening. Make sure you catch the voice note review from Louis. That'll be on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account later tonight. This podcast will be available on the Chelsea Echo account tomorrow as a podcast. So make sure you check that out as well. Make sure you give everyone a follow. Make sure you give Louis and Rambles and myself and a follow. Because we're all good. We're all nice. We all love Chelsea. So nothing to be afraid of. I'm away next week, so I won't be here for the next two episodes, but we will be having a show. There will be a show, a final score on the Everton game next on Sunday, and then on Boxing Day. And then I'll be back for the Ipswich game. But keep listening, keep tuning in. This show's going to keep going. Louis will probably be hosting those podcasts. So make sure you keep listening, and thanks for listening, everyone, tonight. And have a good Christmas, everyone, and up the Chelsea!